You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's Monday, February 6th, 2012. Canine Nation is a regular feature column that runs on the Life as a Human online magazine. Life as a Human features articles about what it means to be human, the good, the bad, and the enlightening. This column explores what it means to be human in our relationship with dogs. You can find it at lifeasahuman.com. To get directly to Canine Nation, go to caninenation.lifeasahuman.com. A complete archive of all the Canine Nation articles can be found there. Hi, I'm Eric Brad. Canine Nation is about learning, understanding, and living successfully with our dogs. Modern animal training techniques based on behavioral science can produce amazing results in working with our dogs. Whether your dog is a loved family member or a working dog, a canine athlete, or a trusted companion, positive training techniques based on science can help you enjoy a more productive and fun relationship with your dog. Join us as we explore the many facets of living with our dogs and taking a fresh look at how we work with them. Whether it's taking a closer look at everyday issues we share with our dogs or busting long-standing myths about training and dog behavior, I hope you find something useful in each of the Canine Nation articles. We're glad you're with us.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Petco. Where the pets go. Petco. Where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Hi, I'm Angelina. Join me for some great training tips to live a happy, healthy, peaceful life together with your best friend. And by the way, they're not the only ones that learn something new. Join me for Teacher's Pet on Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Maybe it's not the dog that's the problem. Whether you choose to look at philosophy, psychology, or semantics, there's little doubt these days that the words we use in describing the elements of our world have a tremendous influence over how we think and feel about them. In fact, the entire field of marketing and advertising is built on that very premise. Use the power of words and their meaning to lend their good influence to a product or to give you a bad impression of a competitor's product. The power of words has also been acknowledged by therapists and counselors who tell us that the words we use in our inner dialogues are important to our self-image and our perceptions of our world. What about the words we use in relation to our dogs? Does it matter if we call it a correction or a reprimand? Does it make a difference if we call it a cue or a command? What about bribe, reward, stimulus, a term for the electric shock collar, red zone dog, and other terms? Language and the specific choice of words can be helpful to us for discussions as dog trainers, but It can also get in the way of good, clear training. Some of the terminology we use in training is harmless, and a little definition can clear up meanings quickly. That allows trainers to exchange ideas productively. But there are other words and phrases that work on our own sense of the relationship we have with our dogs. It can have a profound influence on our sense of expectations and responsibilities. In my opinion, I'm the responsible party from the moment I bring the dog into my home. That means if something isn't working, it's my job to figure out what to do about it. I suppose it's only natural for me to flinch when I hear dog trainers use words or phrases that unfairly shift that responsibility onto the dog instead of owning it themselves. They may not mean to do it. It may be a phrase they heard someone use, and it seems appropriate at the time. But as any good life coach would tell you, what you tell yourself about your dog will very strongly shape how you perceive her. One phrase people often use about their dogs makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Here's a quote. "What I like best about Fido is that he's an honest dog." Unquote. It's often used as praise for a dog who is predictable and steady, one not prone to unexpected behavior. But the first thing that usually pops into my head when I hear this is, compared to what? All of the other sneaky, lying dogs out there? I'm sure if most dog owners really thought about it, they would agree that dogs are just not sophisticated enough to misrepresent themselves by outright lying. They just can't be dishonest. It's not in their power to do so. I think most owners who talk about their honest dog are really expressing their understanding of their particular dog. They know what their dog will do in almost any circumstance, and that's a great thing. But doesn't that speak more to a trainer who has taken the time and effort to learn about their dog and to know what motivates her and how to predict her responses accurately? I think the trainer is the one being honest here, and not the dog. And what about those trainers who have dishonest dogs? Perhaps they haven't invested enough in their dog to understand them yet. But every unexpected response becomes, what, a lie? How much more convenient to shift the responsibility for that lack of understanding onto the dog? It would be easier for me to say, "He's not a very honest dog, so I struggle," than it would be to admit that I'm not a very good trainer. Another term that has lost its meaning for me as I've come to learn more about behavior and training is when trainers describe their dog as a hard dog or a soft dog. Frequently, this is used to describe a dog's endurance when in a training situation. A hard dog, for example, will continue to work with their trainer for many repetitions or exercises, even in highly distracting environments. On the other hand, a dog described as a soft dog is one that requires lots of extra care when training. Perhaps the dog is hard to motivate or will not tolerate long training sessions. Perhaps it's easily distracted or will stop trying after only a few failed attempts. The general observation I have of people in dog performance sports is that hard dogs are good and that soft dogs are bad. It's interesting that some trainers have even gone to the extent to label breeds of dog as harder or softer due to their trainability using some standard training techniques. What's even more interesting to me is that the growing popularity of positive training methods has turned some of these soft dog breeds into exceptional champions in many dog sports. So is it the dog, or is it the trainer or training method that is at work here? My own experience tells me it's the trainer and the training skills they bring to the table. Any dog that will keep working with you no matter what could be considered a hard dog. But if I take that to an extreme, I could also say that any dog that will work with you no matter what is borderline obsessive-compulsive about working. On the other end of the spectrum, any dog that does not display a certain amount of enthusiasm in working with their trainer is considered soft. Not all dogs are as highly motivated by food. Some dogs are highly motivated by the opportunity to play, and still other dogs are motivated by affection and social interaction. If a trainer encounters a dog that has a complex makeup of what motivates it, that dog can be considered difficult to train, a soft dog. Does this again shift responsibility from the human trainer onto the dog? When I hear someone say, "Oh, I just couldn't work with him, he was such a soft dog," all I can think is that there is a trainer who did not want to take the time to figure out what was needed to work with that particular dog. Many dogs share some general traits and will respond in a similar way to training situations. But a gifted trainer can spot the subtle differences in dogs and play to their strengths while minimizing their weaknesses. Thankfully, most dog owners will tend toward breeds they know and understand already. That makes training much easier, and hard or soft doesn't really come into it. To me, using hard and soft to describe a dog is more an indicator of the training skills of the trainer than it is of the dog. Every so often in this column, I poke a sacred cow. There is an entire vernacular out there about dogs, especially in the community of dog sports. I honestly believe that most of the language evolved as a way to try to get some understanding about how to better work with our dogs. My learning about dog behavior and behavioral science has radically changed the way I use some of that language we use about dogs. Unfortunately, a lot of catchphrases I hear work more as a way to relieve trainers of their responsibility and shift those problems onto the dogs instead. I think that's unfortunate. I have yet to meet a dog that didn't want to work with me or be successful. I've had to work hard to earn the trust of some dogs. For others, I've had to be very creative in how I approach the training game with them. Some like very short training sessions, and some respond best with lots of play breaks in between. Some dogs will work all day long as I have food, but are better off if we take a break after a few minutes. Still other dogs need to build their confidence in small increments over a period of weeks or months. And so, to me, a dog is not honest, nor are they hard or soft. They are just dogs, unique in their own way, and open to working with me if I can find a level to work with them on. That's my responsibility, finding that level. I have the big brain. I can figure this out. But I can only do that if I get past the language that says, it's the dog's problem, not mine. Just something to think about. Until next time, have fun with your dogs. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Canine Nation. You can find the text version of it at caninenation.lifeisahuman.com. You can join our discussion about dogs and dog training on Facebook. Just search for Canine Nation to get to our group. You can ask for membership, and we'll add you to our growing family. If you can spread the word about the podcast or link to our caninenation.lifeisahuman.com page, we would certainly appreciate it. That's it for now. Thanks for listening.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Betty White, what's the number one pet radio network in the world?
Pet Life Radio.
Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer. What radio network has over 5 million monthly listeners and over 50 pet talk shows?
Pet Life Radio.
Rachel Ray, where is the best place to reach potential customers if you have a pet business?
Pet Life Radio.
Put your business in front of over 5 million pet parents with a radio ad on Pet Life Radio, the award-winning number one pet radio network on the planet. Call our sales department today, toll free at 877-385-8882. That's 877-385-8882. Or email us at sales@petliferadio.com. Steve Wozniak, if Apple was a pet business, where would you advertise your iLeash?
On Pet Life Radio.